What is going on, Clipper Nation? It is me, a solo positive Chuck Mockler, here to bring you Monday's episode of Locked On Clippers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're bringing you Clippers news every morning, Monday through Friday. The episode comes out at 7 a.m. on all your favorite podcast venues. So go ahead and check us out. Make the clip flip if you're not part of the Clippers. But today, we are recapping the Clippers weekend that included, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the loss to the Jazz, which was disappointing, if not hard fought. And then the almost disastrous but ultimately victorious outing against the Suns on Sunday night. And then Monday, we do it every single week. It's called the Freshies. We're talking the new guys. We're talking fresh trends for the Clippers. We got some great ones today talking about how Luke Kennard has bounced back, as well as just how fun the bench looks with Kawhi Inzu kind of anchoring the staggering situation. And then, unfortunately, the Clippers are the latest team to be involved with a COVID-related quarantine after a positive test. So we're going to touch on that in Shavings, where we kind of wrap everything up. But first, we got to give a shout-out. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Let's get into this Clippers weekend recap. Real quick, just to talk about the Jazz loss, the Clippers fell 100-106 in Utah with fans in the stands, so take that how you will. Kawhi had 20, 16, and 9. PG had 25, 8 boards, 4 assists, 6 steals. This one, you know, you love the team fight when they cut it to 6. Last season, this team would have played very annoying-looking iso ball, but there was great movement happening late, and we almost pulled this one out. But the big news this weekend was Paul George absolutely destroying the Suns. The Clippers beat the Suns 112-107 in Phoenix. A tough road win, no matter how you look at it, against the Suns team that was pretty much streaking. They were playing absurdly well. But the story of this one was Paul George was, I mean, nothing short of fantastic. He had 39, 3, and 4. He was 7 of 10 from beyond the arc. He also had 2 steals and a block. He started off aggressive early, which really made this one easy in the beginning, at least, for the Clippers, which was, you know, kind of nice. We did let this one slide, but we'll get into that later. This was Paul George's game 100%. Kawhi, for as good as Paul George was, Kawhi was the complete opposite. He also kind of took some shots away from PG down the stretch, but thankfully it didn't matter. Paul George set the tone of, I'm going to beat you, good luck. And the Suns really didn't have any answer for him. This was so fantastic to watch. Paul George got heated late, which was really fun. But yeah, Paul George carried the Clippers in this one. Kawhi was not really there in any way, and Paul George saved our bacon. Despite us having a 31-point lead, we did kind of need our bacon saved. Thankfully, we got it saved from Paul George. That was the biggest thing that we liked, and you just have to be so excited with how well his season is starting off. I mentioned kind of the 31-point comeback situation. We answered the Phoenix comeback very well. Ty Lue talked about in the postgame how the Suns went small with Saric at the 5, and that kind of flummoxed them. They hit a couple of threes, which, you know, really just spaced the defense out. We couldn't answer it. But Ty Lue made adjustments. It worked out. The issue was the Suns kind of hung around in this 15-point range, and then because of the third quarter, which we're going to talk about and what we didn't like, we just let them back in with some soft defense and some really wonky offense. But we got some absurd shooting from Serge Ibaka to start the fourth. He hit a couple of threes when it was close. And then Batum hit a three with less than a minute left to push the Clippers' lead kind of into this out-of-reach territory. Batum was huge in this game. 14 points, 4 of 7 from 3, 3 assists. The ball movement with him and the starters seems to get better every single game. And while it doesn't feel like a real possibility, the more that Morris is out, the more that Clippers fans are going to start questioning what's it going to look like when he comes back. Maybe he should come off the bench just to get healthy. Who knows? We'll talk about that situation when we get to it. But he and Serge were very clutch in helping answering this kind of ferocious Phoenix comeback that we got. Ty Lue also mentioned in the postgame that he liked the passing in the first half, and I think Clippers fans, if you watch this game, you would agree. We had 17 assists in the first half compared to just 7 in the entire second half. The first half in general was great. We shot 53%. The lead was huge. It was 20 at the end of, heading into the third, which quickly evaporated. But, you know, there was a lot of good in this game to put to get to a 31-point lead over this Phoenix team, who had been one of, if not the best defensive teams in the league up until tonight, was great. Ball security was awesome. We only had 10 turnovers the whole game. It's very funny to think about that, because for as good as Paul George was, five of those turnovers were Paul George's. So, you know, you win some, you lose some in that scenario, but you're not going to be too mad at Paul George for that tonight. It was great to see. Ty Lue said he wanted to take the ball out of Devin Booker's hands and have the other Suns players try and beat us. And we did a great job of that. Devin Booker only had 13 shot attempts, which, I mean, I'm very happy with that. Anytime you can kind of get him off rhythm, you're probably going to beat the Suns no matter who their point guard is, even if it is the fantastic Chris Paul. But getting into what we didn't like, because like I said, this one was almost a complete disaster. The third quarter, I mean, it was rough. The offense stalled. A 20-point lead was cut to 7 points. The weird thing was, like I just said, the offense stalled. We still shot 50% from the field, but they shot 62%. The defense gave up 37 points in that quarter. Like I said earlier, they went small and it kind of flummoxed us. Ty Lue said that that was on him. So it's nice to see some, taking ownership of that situation. But yeah, this one could have gotten, I mean, this one could have been the most disappointing loss of the season, maybe even more disappointing than the Mavs one, but it didn't matter, thankfully. We do have to talk about how horribly Kawhi Leonard played, because this was bad. I love Kawhi Leonard, but this was one of his roughest games as a Clipper, I think. Not, you know, playoffs aside. Let's not talk about that right now. He was 4 for 21 from the floor. Thankfully, he hit 7 of 10 free throws and added a couple other intangibles here and there. He was somehow getting shots over Paul George when Paul George was starting to heat up again in the third. And then there were some missed possessions in the fourth that didn't really make a whole lot of sense why Kawhi was getting these looks. In the post game, Ty Lue talked about, you know, your best player gets those shots. And that's fine, but the best player tonight was Paul George. No one can argue that. So that was just a little odd to see those shots going away. But yeah, I mean, Ayton was a little unstoppable against us. Went 9 of 12. He had 24 points, 8 boards. That's difficult. We had some tough time kind of containing Saric. And again, the paint defense sometimes, the Clippers are still figuring out. For as good as they've looked, we still got to remember that. And I guess that's a good segue into our takeaways from this weekend is kind of lineup issues, right? Like switching from Lou Williams and Reggie Jackson to Batum and Patrick Beverley is huge, and something that's going to be kind of managed closely by Ty Lue as we, you know, get closer to the playoffs. Obviously, that's a far way away, but this is already seems to be a pretty big issue if Reggie's going to continue to get time. The fight for this team is there in a different way than last season. The loss against the Jazz sucked, but it was a much grittier kind of bad loss than we would have seen last season. I'm very confident of thinking that. The offense, when it's figuring out, means that things are going to look ugly during some possessions. That ball movement stops, the ISOs go up, and it's difficult to watch. We saw it in the third quarter against the Suns. We saw it, you know, a little bit against the Jazz to get us into that mess in the first place. But yeah, that's kind of annoying and is a trend that's starting up. It just seems to be something that happens to the Clippers similarly like it did last season. But, you know, it's growing pains. We're still getting there. We're actually practicing this season, so it feels good. We also, at some point, I don't want to rain on the Batum Battalion's parade. There might be a regression at some point. When Reggie Jackson first came to this Clippers team last season, he was, I mean, amazing. He was fantastic, but then he kind of went back to being Reggie Jackson. Batum is a better player than Reggie Jackson, so it's not going to be as detrimental of a fall off, but there might be a regression at some point. Hopefully, we can kind of get Morris back in rhythm before that happens, but, you know, it just might happen. We also have to give a shout out to Reggie Jackson, who led the Clippers in assists against the Suns. So, you know, you keep hating on Reggie Jackson, the better he plays. All in all, the Clippers are 5-2, with one loss being truly the most absurd loss ever, and the other being a near 20-point comeback. We won a game with Kawhi shooting, going 4 for 21. You know, it's not. It's a great weekend. You got to be psyched that the Clippers are now 5-2. Suns nipping on our heels in the standings, but it doesn't really matter. It feels good. We got to be excited. It's hard to not be psyched with how much experimenting we've seen Ty Lue do already and how the team has responded well to it. Coming up, we're going to be talking the freshies, which we do every Monday, talking the fresh trends and some fresh updates about players on the Clippers. But first, we have to give a shout out to betonline.ag. The NFL playoffs are pretty much here. If you got your guys, I'd probably go with them up to this point. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust with our online sports gaming, and that is betonline.ag. If you sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. There's been a lot of blowouts this season so far in the NBA. Seems like the spreads haven't caught up quite yet. Look out for those teams who've traveled a bit to maybe go against the home favorite. Maybe it's a little more than 6 points or whatever they give it. You never know. The point is, don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON. That is all capital letters and one word to receive a 50% off welcome bonus. Excuse me, 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sports book experts. All right, welcome back to Locked On Clips. Again, coming at you 5 days a week. Comes out 7 a.m. Every Monday through Friday. Check out Locked On Bets. Get your lock of the week and win a couple of bucks. Why not? Locked On Bets, go win a couple of bucks. So we're talking the freshies. We're talking fresh trends kind of 2 weeks into this season. And, you know, we're going to start off. Kawhi Leonard's passing this year has been so damn good. Kind of taking the Suns game out of it where he didn't have as many assists as he's been averaging, and he had a couple turnovers. He's been doing a great job at taking care of the ball. He's at right around 6 assists per game. Last year he was at 5, and people were very hyped, talking about how he'd unlocked a whole brand new aspect of his game. Well, he's averaging one more assist than that, and no one really seems to be talking about it mainstream media-wise, of course. But this is also a great kind of, you know, this trend goes with Ty Lue's system being fantastic for everyone on the team. The Clippers passing as a whole has gone up. I think we're firing off, what, like 15, 20% more passes per game than we were last season. Ty Lue's system is going to get Kawhi to another career high in assists per game this year. It's just going to happen. There's going to be just more movement in general. Once everyone gets healthy, we're going to see some uber-efficient offensive lineups with Morris out there, too. It's really exciting to see what's going to happen, especially once Kawhi get this mask situation cleared up. He doesn't like playing with it, so hopefully that comes off soon. But his passing has been fantastic, and I think that's something that should be being talked about by more people who are larger than us, but we'll see what happens. Another fantastic fresh trend this season is Paul George is taking more shots than usual. In the Jazz game, he took 22 field goal attempts. In the Suns game, he took 25 field goal attempts. Last season, he only took 22 or more field goal attempts 5 times, including the playoffs. And he's already close to being over half that. It's working. Paul George is playing so well that this just has to be happening. The offense is working better for Paul George. He's getting more freedom kind of as a creator. There is kind of the unfresh trend of his turnovers going up, which we haven't liked. Like I said, in that Suns game, he had half of the team's turnovers, which is a little rough. But taking more shots is fantastic. He took 10 threes in the Suns game. A lot of people want to see him kind of in that like 12 range or something like that. I'm not entirely sure what that looks like once Morris is healthy. I don't think if Paul George, if he's not taking like 12 threes a game, when Morris is out and we kind of need, and you know, we rely on him like in a game against the Suns, I don't think that's going to happen. I think right around 10 when Morris is healthy and everyone is back is a totally acceptable number. Kawhi is going to start putting it together more, so there's going to be even more space for him to just kind of not roam on the 3-point, but just have when he receives the ball. So yeah, I think that 10 threes a game range, he's probably going to be closer to 40% again this season, which is fantastic. Again, another thing that's not talked about enough by people. But Paul George taking more shots is something I think we can all agree is fantastic. And another thing with Paul George, the bench lineups look so much more palatable with Paul George kind of staggering with them. It's hard for me personally as a fan. When I think about the Clippers bench, I still think we have an inadequate rim protector, because it's seared in my brain that Trez is like still part of that lineup when I'm trying to think of these things. But with Zoo and Paul George being out there, even when we have lineups that involve Reggie, Lou, and Luke, it's not a complete disaster defensively. Yes, it is very frustrating to watch and kind of just from a logic standpoint deal with as a fan for sure. But I just think it's something we're going to have to live with when we're tinkering in these non-full healthy roster days, I guess. It, you know, the rim protection is there with Zoo, and Paul George can do his best to try and cover for Reggie, Lou, and Luke. Zoo had some fantastic rotations in the Phoenix game. Lou Williams also looking a little more inspired, I guess, on the defensive end. He just seems like he's moving his feet a little quicker than he was last year. But the bench lineups are so fun to watch with Paul George out there. You know, the Clips went on an 18-0 run without Kawhi on the floor against the Suns. It's fantastic to see it working. You're still going to get stressed out a little bit. It's still the cardiac Clippers, which is not fun, as we know. But there's, for a team that's still working on these things, it's looking really good. And the commitment from Lou to kind of having Paul George be the guy with the bench players is great. I think it's great to give Paul George that responsibility. He gets, you know, he can kind of run point a little bit more. There's creators next to him. Kind of like, you know, the point guard situation, this is such a hard pivot, and I just did it in half a second. I apologize. But the point guard situation has been a nice trend to not really see being an issue, if that makes sense. We're getting a lot of contributions ball movement-wise from a lot of different guys, which has been great. And when, you know, Paul George can be back with that second unit, he can get the ball moving a little bit more. You know, the turnovers still got to get worked on, which is a bad trend, but you know, it's just been good to see Paul George having kind of weirdly sneaky MVP possibility season. And if this play with the bench continues, he's going to be doing it with, you know, a lot different lineups than Kawhi might be doing it. So it's going to be fun to watch. Luke Kennard has bounced back very strong shooting-wise since, you know, the first week of the season. He started this season like 3 of 13 from deep. Since then, he's been 8 of 10, which has been great. He went 2 of 3 from beyond the arc against the Suns. But he's looked like a different player. It's really been, you know, it's been an incremental ramp up to him being in full, good to go game shape, which makes sense. He hadn't played an NBA game in over a year. There's a short offseason. There's no real training camp. Things are a little wonky. But he's been great. He's been serviceable. He's looking fresh. He has looked, for those of you interested, better than Landry Shamet so far, if you're keeping track of kind of what we gave up to get him. But the confidence is rising, which is fantastic. And yeah, we hope to see more of the same from Luke. Once Morris comes back, there'll be a clearer picture of what numbers and responsibilities look like for those bench minutes. But yeah, shout out to Luke Kennard. And you know, we would be remiss if we didn't mention the most unbelievable trend so far this season is it's got to be Nick Batum. It doesn't make any sense. He's averaging just under 9 points, just under 6 boards, just under 3 assists. And he's been clutch. He hit a clutch 3 against the Suns. He makes these small passes that just help the starters kind of just look smoother on offense. You get motions initiated easier. It's been fantastic to see a career renaissance for Nick Batum for the most part. There was Lucas Hahn had a funny tweet about how someone asked him if we should use the mid-level exception on Nick Batum next season. And it was a good question because he's played that well. William the Opinion Updike, who also is usually hosting this show with me, he will be on tomorrow's episode. He was talking about that too. Like, how can we afford Nick Batum if he keeps playing this well? But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Everything seems to be clicking pretty well right now. Serge Ibaka, another new addition who is fitting in perfectly and seamlessly with this Clippers lineup, so that's fantastic to see. Shout out to all the new Clippers. Shout out to the new Clippers fans as well. Last season, if you became a Clippers fan last season and you're still a Clippers fan, hey, thanks for sticking around. It's been a lot worse before, but you know, that's how things go. Coming up, we're going to be talking just kind of stuff rattling around the league and unfortunate news from the Clippers staff camp. But first, we have to give a shout out to Built Bar. Built Bar is now improved. It's even deliciouser than before. Comes in 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut. The 6 new flavors are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew. They're great for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Built bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for the keto diet. I enjoy the coconut almond flavor. That's one of their older ones. It's got 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams net carbs. Right now, at Built Bar, you can get a free cooler with purchase, but that is while supplies last, so hurry up and get your Built Bars ordered. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. One more time, use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Okay, welcome to Shavings, which is where we just kind of go over the random stuff kind of rattling around the Clippers drawer, if you will. It was announced, unfortunately, on Sunday before the Suns-Clippers game that several members of the Clippers support staff had to be quarantined in Salt Lake City after a positive coronavirus test. Contract tracing led back to 8 people attending a New Year's Eve meal at a presidential suite in the team hotel with intermittent mask wearing. The quarantine group included no players, no coaches, and no team management. So this was trainers. This was, you know, film people, maybe that kind of level of staff. For those of you wondering, Ty Lue made it very clear in his post or his pregame press conference that he was not there, because if he had been, he wouldn't have been allowed to coach. I don't know. This is very unfortunate. We hope everyone heals up and isn't, you know, showing harsh symptoms or anything like that for these members of the Clippers support staff. Hope they're quarantined. Hope they're feeling okay. This is unfortunate for multiple reasons. People getting sick is never good. People getting sick when the sickness is COVID-19 is even scarier. This also kind of, it seemed like it, someone asked pregame if this maybe broke NBA protocol. I have to imagine it probably did. I don't think 8 people kicking it in a presidential suite for like a New Year's Eve party is within the rules. I'm not 100% sure. There could be a punishment coming down for the Clippers as an organization. The NFL has been finding teams for stuff like that. But yeah, remains to be seen. We hope they're safe. There was an ESPN report on it, of course. But hey, what are you going to do? But again, please, everyone stay safe. Yeah, it's just tough. Clippers need as much help as they can. That support staff is very key. We don't know whose trainers it was or who they work with or anything like that. But anytime you're missing people like that, it's an issue. Ty Lue commented multiple times, kind of next man up is a mentality for the Clippers players as well, seemingly, as the support staff. But yeah, I mean, I think that about wraps it up. We're entering 2021 here at Locked On Clips. Pretty hyped on how these first 7 games have gone. We ran a poll a couple weeks ago about how long people would have given the Clippers to kind of quote-unquote figure it out. And the majority of people voted 6 to 10 games. And right now, sitting at 5-2, I think it's I'm not even going to say that the Clippers have figured it out yet, because we've seen glimpses of how good it can look. There were times against the Jazz when we were crawling back from a 20-point deficit that it was like, oh, we're hitting a stride. This is what this kind of looks like when it's clicking while we're down 20. PG going supernova against the Suns is fantastic to watch, but there's still glimpses of things looking good in that game just as a team process situation. So yeah, you got to be hyped on these first, you know, first 2 weeks of the Clippers' young season. Let's hope it keeps going. On Tuesday's episode, again, here at Locked On Clippers, 5 days a week, coming out 7 a.m. Monday through Friday. Tuesday's episode, it's going to be Twitter Tuesday, so send us those questions. Send those to @LockedOnClips. I'll put a prompt out, but feel free to send them whenever. We will answer it on the show. A preview of the Clippers versus Spurs game. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. We want to thank everyone for listening. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer, all those fantastic Apple Pods, iPodcasts, whatever it's called now. Please, if you're able to, leave a rating and review. Smash that subscribe button. It would be fantastic. We're so happy to bring you guys Clippers news 5 days a week. Usually, my co-host, William the Opinion Updike, is here. But tonight, you just had me, positive Chuck Mockler. So we will see you guys on Tuesday.